Well, happy anniversary, church. We are the church, and here we are. In the words of Mary Ellen Rogers, she's not here today, is she? No. 5 years ago, we had our fifth anniversary, and she said a great theme 3 years ago, at the fifth anniversary, she said a great theme would be 5 years closer to heaven. Now we're 8 years closer to heaven. Some of us have gone to heaven too, and we are all preparing to go to heaven, aren't we? Well, many of the assumptions that Christians make about the church don't even match up to what Jesus says. For example, I'm referring to the subject of our sermon series this winter, which is the gospel according to Jesus. What does Jesus say about the church? Here we are, 8 years old, just beyond toddler age, and finding out what it's to be like a church. We have been finding our way, just like a little kid does when he's a toddler. We have no sanctuary, we have no building, and yes, we have no mortgage. I graduated from the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, over half a century ago in 1993. And during those 3 years of study, we were never given any instructions on how to start the church because everybody was assumed they were going to be assigned to an established church. So we just kind of winged it, and we prayed and we worked on it, and here we are. Here we are. It is only because of the work and the power of the Holy Spirit that we have endured and prospered. We have endured and prospered. We have touched so many people, because I can look out here and I can see there are just a few people who have been with us from the beginning, because everybody else has either moved away or moved into the kingdom of heaven or gone into assisted living, whichever comes first, I don't know. But there are great riches in this short reading that Tom gave us, but let's look at verse 18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Church, what is a church? Well, people say, what church do you belong to? And often the answer is something like, well, it's the Baptist Church on 1st and Elm Street, you know, that big brick building. Well, what is the reality? It's the people, isn't it? And every Sunday we confess our faith to the Apostles' Creed, and we say, the Holy Catholic Church. And what do we mean by that? I've said this many times in the past, but I think for some of you who are new or who haven't heard the interpretation of that, it means the Holy Catholic Church means that Jesus is the cornerstone, the rock. It encompasses all the people who have been in the church from day one. It is the Holy Universal Church. Well, originally in the first century, we've been studying Acts in the last sermon series. We saw that people met in the larger homes of the more wealthy people in the congregations, and very often they met in synagogues, as many of the Jewish converts do today. The Messianic Jews meet in their own congregational places. But the word church, as used in the early Greek, is ecclesia. Ecclesia, it means the calling out of a people to assemble together. It's the calling out of a group of people to assemble together for a certain purpose. Well, we assemble here together for worship. God has called us out to be distinct from the world, different from the world. Then this is the church. Wherever we meet, we've met downstairs, we've met in the craft room, we've met in the Humboldt room, we've met here. And who knows where we'll be meeting in the future. Our prime concerns are all located in a single phrase. Does our worship reflect the Christ who calls us out to be separate from the world? We are meant to be different. Sometimes it's not comfortable, but we are meant to be different. Are we living a distinct, called out people life? Are we living in a community of Christ? You know, there's a healthy way in which people say it's my church. The church belongs to them, where they can be loved and honored and feel friendly and accepted for whoever they are. And that's one of the main things I hear about this church. It is such an outreaching and warm and friendly church. But it is Jesus here who says in the scripture, my church. The church belongs to him, doesn't it? It is his. It is the body of Christ, and he is the head of the church. We are his bondservants. You know, in the Bible, it really says, if you listen to this, we are Christ's bondservants, which in so many words, in many interpretations, says we are the slaves of Christ. We are to do his will through him and through the Father in heaven. That is the important thing about being a Christian, is not only to believe, not only to say that I believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, but that we are to do his will and to make a difference in this world. Not too many years ago, there was a very popular Christian movement done by many preachers that said, Jesus wants his church back. Well, we are custodians of that church. We are not the owners. We are renters and not landlords. Jesus Christ is the landlord of our church. And Jesus says to Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Peter has just confessed his statement that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus has said, okay, all you guys are part of my ecclesia. You are my called out group, and you're going to serve me. One thing that we will not do in this church is to lower the bar, to cater to the whims of the world, to water down our beliefs to make people happy, to be a feel-good church. We're not going to do that, because we believe in the gospel according to Jesus, and that is not an easy thing. I've heard a couple of times that Eagle Bend Community Church is very conservative. Well, that's a good thing. We preach the gospel according to Jesus as our Lord and Savior and Redeemer. We don't waver from that. No excuses, no changes, no vacillation, no resource other than the biblical gospel. Our church holds an aspiration before people, mainly to become radical disciples of Jesus. We are radical in our belief. Be bold. Make it worth the leap. Make it worth your involvement in the church, that others will see how you live, why you live, and how it makes such a difference in your life. Here was Jesus with the disciples on a cliff in Caesarea Philippi. And he asked them the question. He asked them the question, you who have been with me all this time, who do you say I am? You would think that they would know already. Jesus asked that question. They all kind of stood around kind of sheepishly and embarrassed. But Peter, you know how he is. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter answered. He was answering for all 12 apostles, because Jesus said to them, who do you think that we are? I am. Who do you, meaning all of them? A simple and concise answer. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And from that answer, the world has shifted its course forever. It shifted from the old covenant into the new covenant. Jesus looked at Peter then and said, Peter, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, what is that rock? For many centuries, Christians have disagreed, and they've looked at this in many, many different ways. And I look at it in a different way as well. There's the Roman Catholic answer that Peter is the first pope, and it says, upon this rock I will build my church, that he is the beginning. And even now the Catholic Church holds a certain interpretation, gives the pope an infallibility in this world that nobody else has. Well, the Protestant answer is something different. Over the most popular evangelical answers go like this. Well, Peter is the rock, and there are many rocks, and you are a small stone, and I'm building my church on your rock. But and Jesus is the cornerstone, and every Christian is a rock in the building of this church. What is the rock upon which the church is built? Is it Peter, or is it the confession of faith? Is it the confession that Jesus is the Lord? Is he the rock? Well, I'd like to suggest this morning that there might be an interdenominational way to interpret this. I think this comes closest to the Bible. First one, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. He's referring to Peter. Petros and Petra, meaning the same thing. Those were variations of the word rock. And one means masculine, one means feminine. And Jesus said, Peter, you are a rock, man. You are a rock. Right on. You are a rock. Second one, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. That rock was his confession. The confession that Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to them, he said to them, who do you say that I am? And Peter made his confession. Yes, Peter was first. He was the leader, and give him all the credit. He was the one that had the guts and the gumption to come out and say it. And that's why he was the leader of the early church. Peter is the rock, but so are the other apostles, and so are you, all rocks, in the cornerstone that Christ has made for us. We are all part of the construction plan. I think Jesus was saying, Peter, yeah, you are a rock. And upon you and men like you and people like you, rocks, all of you, you're all rocks. I will build my church. Peter is the foundation of the church in the sense that he made the confession for the apostles and they came along with him and then were dispersed to all parts of the Mediterranean world that was known in those days. And they all, with the exception of John, died a martyr's death. I'm saying the church is not built upon an idea alone or upon a confession alone, but it's upon Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Ephesians 2:20 says, for you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. So that kind of lays it out. We know the construction plans. We know the engineering of the kingdom of God. We know the engineering of the church. The church is built with you. Only with me as a beginning, with you as the rest of the construction. Those unlikely Galileans who were the apostles, look at the group they were, a ragtag group from the hill country of Galilee, near the Sea of Galilee. Even when they came to Jerusalem, their accent was so distinct that people could say, hey, I know where you're from. You're from Galilee. I can tell you by your accent. Sometimes I can tell where people are from, North Carolina, South Carolina, New York, New Jersey, California, by their accent. And that's what they could do in those days, too. Well, they were fishermen, tax collectors, politicians, and those who joined the group later on were even tax collectors and prostitutes. Many years later, Peter wrote a letter called 1 Peter. That's what Peter said in chapter 2. You have come to Christ who is the living stone. And it says in Peter 2:5, and you are built upon him as living stones upon living stones. And that's how our kingdom and how our church is built. Living stones upon living stones, because we live the life of Christ and we radiate it to others. Here's where we fit in and why this is so important. Because without this construction diagram, without the engineering plans of the cornerstone, without the cornerstone, the church would not exist. Without you as the rocks, the church would not exist. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an important truth, a revolutionary truth here. You are not a Christian because you came to church this morning, as wonderful as that is. You're not a Christian because you've been baptized, as good as that might be. In fact, oh, just a little aside, if you have not been baptized and would like to, just let us know and we can arrange that. You're not a Christian because of anything you do or the way you do it or the way you think. You're a Christian because of what you believe and confess in Jesus and the way you go and do his will and the will of the Father, which is not easy. It is not easy to do the will of the Father. And I've said this, that St. Paul has said this many times. St. Paul, the greatest apostle of all time, he knew his failings. He said, the good that I would, that I don't do. And the evil that I do, than I do. Can you imagine? St. Paul said that himself. It's not made up of people. The church is not made up of people who have attended twice and have a name tag, but that's part of the way we work. It's not made up of people who tithe their money to the church, as necessary as that might be, as I mentioned last week. The church is made up of people who have confessed one revolutionary truth, that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of the living God, and I'm going to live that way. The church here at Eagle Bend and all over the world faces all kinds of challenges and difficulties. But this is the church, with our weaknesses and our strengths and our loving and our caring. We are the church. But when we not waver from the teaching of Jesus, we have every reason that God will inspire us and give us strength, and the Holy Spirit will stand behind us, because we are solid in our faith and we don't waver. If He is your Lord, then Jesus Christ is the rock of our faith, the unchanging rock, the cornerstone of our life. May our church continue to move forward and serve our Lord, our rock, who is the essence of our life.